But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And then at 45, verse 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. May God add his blessings to the hearing and the doing of his holy word. Our scripture reading comes to us from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord away from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." And so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked into the tomb and saw the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, and he went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded by itself, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciples, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed, but they still did not understand the scripture that Jesus had to rise again. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. One was at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was he. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Well, thinking he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." We're still in the Easter time, you know, for about the next 6 weeks. And there's something about Easter, something that's exuberant, something triumphant, something inexpressibly happy about Easter. Well, now. But that first Easter began on a very different note. When Mary Magdalene got up before dawn, she awoke with the bitter taste of defeat on her lips. And she woke with pangs of despair in her heart. She opened her eyes on a dark and dreary world, a world without joy, a world without Jesus. And then things didn't get any better from there on. She arrived at the tomb and found that the grave had been vandalized. The body of the dear teacher had been stolen. This was the breaking point. After the tension of the past week, the fear on Friday, the despair on Saturday, Mary had reached her limits this morning. No wonder Mary Magdalene was beside herself. No wonder that she wept. No wonder that she didn't recognize Jesus when he approached her. No wonder she mistook her best friend for the caretaker of the garden. And then everything changed. Jesus called her by name. "Mary," he said. And at that sound of that voice, Mary's heart broke with joy and her eyes were opened to face the love. To hear her name on those lips was to be touched by heaven. Jesus said, "Mary," and the whole world was transformed. That's what made the difference for Mary, to be called by name, to be called by Christ, to be called back to life. And you know, Easter hasn't changed since that day. Easter is still about Christ unexpectedly alive in our midst. Can you sense His presence even now? Can you feel Him walking with you in the week? Can you hear Him calling you? Easter is Christ calling us by name. Easter is the Savior calling us to life. Do you feel it? Do you hear your name? Do you hear Christ calling you to life, a new life of meaning and purpose, a life of new possibilities? Did you ever hear about the moth with no mouth? There really is such a creature. As a caterpillar, this insect lays its eggs and then turns into a moth. The earthbound crawler sheds its old life and takes wing into a new existence. Right? Wrong. This poor moth has no mouth. It has no stomach, no way to eat. And so it starves to death in just a few hours. Can you imagine anything more pointless? That wretched little creature exists only to leave eggs behind, and having done so, it runs into a dead end. It goes through the motions of making a cocoon and growing wings, and then it falls over and dies. Well, some people feel the same way about their own lives. They feel like they're just going through the motions of living. They grow up, they hold down a job and pay off a mortgage, perhaps. Somewhere along the line, maybe they get married and bring some kids into the world. And with any luck, they live long enough to retire. But then one day, they keel over, wondering at the end, what was the point of it all? The resurrection of Christ is God's solemn promise that life is not a tale told by a fool, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Jesus calls us to live abundantly today, now, not just go through the motions. To what have you given your life? To whom have you committed yourself? In whose yoke are you committed to service? Where have you given your heart? In the answer to those questions, some people can muster only petty pursuits and trivialities. But Christ offers us vastly more. The risen Lord gives us a cause to live for, a cause to die for, and a cause to live again for. Be still for a moment. Do you hear Christ calling you to a life of hope? Is He calling you by name? A popular tourist attraction in Vietnam is a visit to the royal tombs. There are old women there who give guided tours through those tombs. They light candles before the various exhibits to show the visitors the nooks and crannies of the tombs, telling stories as they go. And when the day is done and the tourists have gone home, the guides put out the candles and they go to bed in the tombs. That's where they live, in the tombs. That's where they pass their days and spend their nights, in the tombs. And many of us do the same. We live, if you can call it living, as if life were a dead end and that the world were our tomb. We plod through our daily routine as if the cross were the last word on Jesus. We worry and fret over petty matters as if Christ had not conquered death. We allow ourselves to be manipulated by the fallen powers of this world as if the risen Lord does not rule the universe. We carry on our dreary business as usual, trudging deeper and deeper into the rut, as if the firstborn from the dead were not the beginning of a whole new order of creation. The peace rose. The peace rose is probably the most popular rose in the world. I didn't know that. I'll have to take somebody's word for that little bit of information. In 1939, a French rose grower named Milan found one single seed among his hybrids. And that's another thing I'll have to take for granted, is that roses have seeds. But he found this one solitary seed, and it grew into the beautiful peace rose. And now peace roses are grown all over the world today, and every one of them came from that one single, unique, one-of-a-kind seed. Well, Jesus Christ is our first fruits. From the seed of Christ's resurrection will come the eternal harvest of every Christian. His resurrection is the root of our own. His life is the source of our life. His victory is the assurance of our victory. His promise is our hope. Do you hear your name being called? Do you hear Christ calling you to a life of new possibilities? The New Testament often talks about the need for change. Repent, we hear over and over. And we tend to think that repentance is simply sorrow over our mistakes. But really, the Greek word which translates repentance in most English Bibles literally means a change of mind, a transformation of one's thinking. Change begins with our own hunger for new possibilities. And that desire for change finds its fulfillment in the power unleashed through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, at times we may feel entombed by our circumstances. The report from the doctor isn't encouraging. The money didn't come through. Oh, my job is going nowhere. My relationship is a mess and I don't know how to fix it. Why can't I get my eating or my drinking under control? These pressures and deadlines are killing me. Nobody understands me. Allow me to digress here for just a moment. Do you hear all those personal pronouns? Me, my, I. My report from the doctor isn't encouraging. My money didn't come. My report, my job, my relationship, I don't know how to fix it. And perhaps there's another sermon in those personal pronouns, but we'll leave that for another time. But while we're stopped there, how many personal possessive pronouns are there in the Lord's Prayer? I'll leave that for another consideration as well. But we all have, at some time, felt entombed by our circumstances. But hear the good news. If God could raise Jesus Christ from the grave, then God can free us from the tomb of our limitations and constraints. If God could roll away the stone that sealed Jesus in the grave, then God can roll away the stumbling pebbles that litter our path. If God could shatter the chains of death, then God can surely strike off everything that binds us, everything that keeps us from living fully and abundantly. If God could open up eternal possibilities for a crucified man lying in a borrowed tomb, then God can surely open up a new course for you and for me. That's the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us. There is nothing that He can't do. Oh, there's nothing that He won't do for us. Do you hear your name being called? Do you hear Christ calling you to life? a life of hope, a life of meaning, a life of new possibilities, a life of joy, a life of commitment. Remember the wonderful scene in Tom Sawyer when the church gathers for the memorial service for Tom and two of his friends who are believed to have died, drowned in the river. In fact, Tom and his buddies have been hiding out, and now they sneak into the church loft to enjoy their own funerals. This is an old-fashioned country funeral, and there's plenty of wailing and moaning. And just when the weeping and grieving have reached their peak, Tom comes strolling down the church aisle. In a heartbeat, the whole congregation is caught up in joy. Every face is left with a smile, and every voice is lifted in praise. The one who was dead is alive after all. That's Easter, people. That's Easter. That's the boisterous, undignified beginning of our faith. A grief-stricken wake where the corpse walks in and turns the tears into laughter and the grieving into dancing. From that day on, the New Testament followers of Jesus would never again take the world quite so seriously. They would live joyfully and preach joyfully and sing joyfully, even in prison, even waiting for execution. And why shouldn't they sing in the shadow of death? You can bury joy in the tomb, but you can't keep it there. Christ is calling you today. Christ is calling you by name. Christ is calling you to life, a life of hope, a life of meaning, a life of new possibilities, a life of joy, a life of commitment. Christ is calling you to a resurrection life. Don't miss it. Don't sleep through it. It's still Easter. Make every day Easter. Hear him calling your name. Expect it. Experience the joy that Mary experienced to hear her name on those lips. Experience being touched by heaven as you hear Jesus call you by name. To be called by name, to be called by Christ, is to have your whole world transformed. To be called by name, to be called by Christ, is to be called back to life. Christ is risen, and so should you. So should you. So should we all. Rise up, O people of God, and know your Christ, and hear him call you by name. Gracious Father, give us ears to hear that sweet sound of Jesus calling me by name. Take away the busyness of our day so that we can begin each day not only in your presence because you're always there, but help us to begin each day hearing you call us awake, new and refreshed in your life and in your love. Amen.